Previously on Corporate Homie.
Supporting women in the workplace.
You know, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women.
Hire, pay, promote.
It's how you do one thing is how you do everything. On today's episode of Corporate Homie, we're talking all things references.
Reference should be kind of like, to me, a marriage proposal.
This is silly. I'm not the one that needs the reference.
Would somebody really write a negative letter? Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo, woo. I said woo, woo.
Lord. So today we are in, you know, kicking off a reference series, and we're talking all things references. If you've been rolling with us for some time, homies, you may remember that we did an episode on reference.
17, I think it was.
40.
Right?
Will you be my reference? Will you be my reference back a while ago, asking, you know, will you be my reference? This episode, we had a homie say, well, after someone says yes, they will be your reference, then what do you do? Or what are some mistakes that we've seen people make in connection after someone's agreed to be their reference? So this is just a quick follow-up episode to that episode. And then we'll have another episode on the other end. Once you say yes, you would be someone's reference, sort of how to do that. So if to get the full picture, you should probably listen to all three of the episodes to get the full, the fullness of our, of the sage advice.
The cycle.
Right, the cycle.
The cycle. The reference cycle.
The reference cycle. Right.
Like August Wilson.
Right. Like August Wilson.
The reference cycle.
Yes. It's a reference cycle. Oh, I love that. Okay. So let's just get into it. Once, you know, someone says, yes, they would be your reference and they've agreed to give, you know, to be the reference, I say, make sure you review and understand all the materials that are needed to put the packet together. I mean, you're laughing, but
I could not agree.
I literally just agreed to be someone's reference and I had to do all the legwork to figure out what the reference had to have. And I spent literally like an hour and a half on the organization's website, looking up to see what the letter had to have. And I thought, this is silly. I'm not the one that needs the reference. They should have given me an outline or a bullet point list of something that sort of, or send me to where I need to go on the website and let me know what they need. But they should have an understanding of what's needed. I shouldn't have to go and get that understanding.
So this is such an important point because I've had people ask for all different types of letters. And like you said, I think to myself, I don't know the criteria. You know, you're getting the, you know, Bemetra Simmons Lifetime Achievement Award. Who was Bemetra Simmons? What are the attributes that they're looking for in the Lifetime Achievement Award? So just sometimes if it's an application package, give them the application. And even if you haven't finished it, just so they can see, like you said, because normally on those application packages, the first page outlines what the criteria is. And that's important for the person who's going to write your letter or what have you, so they can frame all your experiences with using the attributes and within the context of what the selection committee is going to be looking for.
Yes. So just can't express that enough.
The second thing is I like for people to also give me a resume, right? Because I find it just kind of helps me understand like their journey professionally and how they even got to where they are now. So I don't know if you're including that as a part of like putting together all the materials, but I do like to see a resume if they have one that's updated.
I like a resume too. And let me say this. I like a resume no matter what you want to reference for me for. If you want a reference, but I'm saying like, even when people want me to write a letter for Delta or so that they can get the thing at their church.
No, you always need a resume. So let's just, I don't want to assume everybody knows what we're talking about. So I think you should have like the application packet, what the criteria is. You should include a resume. And if you have a professional written bio, you should include that as well. Every single time, because it gives context.
Right. And what I was saying about review and analyze the materials, I just meant the criteria. So you're talking about additional materials to submit. So that's a great second point. I was talking about
point two,
understanding what the application, here's some additional materials that you need to,
I'm going to repeat it. Resume, bio, I'll actually like a fun fact so I can say something personal about you. And I mean, like, you like to cook or, you know, whatever, but I like a fun fact. But that's what I
think. I love that.
Resume and bio.
Yeah, so we started with review and understand the materials, and the second one is submit personal information so that the referrer can have, you know.
So now, like, where you go to school?
Right.
You take, all of that. You email the person.
What you do after school? Right. All of that.
Now I'm on your LinkedIn page and just now. So, you know, it's not, you know, you're not making it easy.
Okay, so that goes right into my next point. Make yourself available well before the deadline.
I lie and give people the wrong deadlines.
I'm saying this. I've asked you to be my reference. The deadline is, someone's asked me to be a reference. I'm saying the same analogy. You want me to write you a letter, you know, for a scholarship. I've asked you, hey, what day is it due? You've told me it's due April 15th. I'm like, great. I shouldn't have to track you down like, hey, where's your resume? Where's your, hey, because I've done that. Like, so it's so funny you say that, because I just went through this past couple of weeks, which is where this topic came from. And I was literally like, I didn't think about it, but I asked for that. Hey, can you send me a bio? Can you send me a resume? Then I had to say, hey, I still haven't gotten your materials. Hey, I'm still looking for your materials. And I'm literally like, what is going on? I'm doing you a favor and you don't seem to be able to make yourself available. Then I asked one of the young women who asked me to write a reference for her, if we could have a cup of coffee so that I could sit down and go through some of the materials, because I had questions. And you would have thought I asked her to, like, you know, chop wood. And I'm thinking to myself, if you don't have time to sit down with me and have a cup of coffee and talk about your application, then maybe I don't have time to write your reference. Because I do think that homies should understand, no one can write your reference quickly. It is a pretty good undertaking to write someone a reference.
So someone, I think that's a great point. My next tip I completely got from somebody else. So Karen Arnold, if you're listening, I got this from you. So Karen and I were asked to be a reference for somebody for an organization. And she, for the three of us that were sponsoring this person, she sent us meeting planners of when to get our letters to her. Like an actual calendar appointment. And I thought that was great.
That
right.
Is
great.
And it's, yeah, it so said she, like, right.
So she basically, you know, we had a little powwow, like, you know, like we're talking about, and she said, okay, look, I'm going to try to get this done by this date. And then, like, if you guys could all get your letters to me by this date, that'd be great. But then she gave us a meeting planner that said, like, you know, letters for, you know, Jane Doe due to Karen, you know, and that's a really neat tip that you can do when you're asking somebody, and then you can put it on their calendar that says, you know, I'm going to send you a meeting planner of when I need my letter.
Yeah, right? That's great. Helps you meet the deadline.
Right. And then my next kind of goes hand in hand. I think people need at least 7 days of a lead time to write a letter at a minimum.
Oh, absolutely. At least. Because,
a minimum.
Because
they have other things on their desk.
Right, yeah. And it's a favor. So this is not their job. This is not their side hustle. This is not anything to do with their children. This is truly a favor. And so you need to give them as much time as possible to do the favor. I completely agree with you. 7 days is plenty. Which takes me to my next one. If you can, prepare the draft.
Always start a draft.
Start a draft.
Always start a draft.
They can decide they don't want it. But what's easy is just to say, here is a letter I would write about myself that I know goes in line with all the materials. If they don't want that, they can throw it away. If they do, they can just edit it. But it's sometimes much easier for someone to revise and edit your letter or your draft than it is for them to start fresh.
Right. I could not agree with that more. And I'm always happier to punch a draft up than to start from scratch. A lot of organizations, my next point is, a lot of organizations do not allow people to refer, sponsor, what have you, more than one person. So when you're the referrer, and you know sometimes you have to have like two sponsors and one letter of reference, you need to have like plan B and plan C people in mind in the event that somebody has gotten to Demetra before you. And so you need to have, so yes, you've asked Demetra and you're feeling good about it, but she gets back to you and says, oh, I'm actually already sponsoring John, so
that
I can't
actually
do that.
Just happened to me. Someone asked me to write a letter for a professional organization, but we're only able to sponsor one person per cycle. And I had already committed to someone else who actually asked me like the day that they got the application packet. So they literally called me up like, I just left the such and such. I think I want to apply for this. Will you do it? I was like, absolutely. And then the other person, kind of to your point, called me literally like 3 days before it was due. And so I was like, oh no, I'm sorry, I've already committed. And it was a little awkward because I knew both of the young men and I knew that they knew each other. And so it was like, I had already committed to both of them. You know what I mean? I had already committed to someone that he knew. And I right. had to say like, oh no, he called me like the day he left. And to me, it was a reminder that the early bird gets the worm. So yep. There's no reason, you already know what the application is going to entail. And while it might take you some time to put together the actual application, go ahead, you know, first off, if you need, you know, a letter, go ahead and ask whoever you need to ask, because you don't know what their rules are.
So my next tip is solicit feedback. Most of the time you're applying to an organization because you know somebody that is a member of that organization, or you know something about that organization. You may have known someone who's been on selection in previous years. You'd be remiss to put together a package, take the time to get references, do your application, whatnot, and not ask for somebody who is familiar with the organization, familiar with what they're looking for, to take a look at your packet and to give you feedback prior to submission.
Right, because you need time to catch the typos. Like you said, punch it back up. Again, that takes you back to the send to people with plenty of time for them to review, or maybe you want to send it to someone else, right? Like, so I think that's a really good...
Yeah, I mean, this is sending it to somebody other than the person who's going to necessarily write your reference. Or maybe it is that person. Sometimes they're one and the same. And then this goes without saying. And then take the feedback and make the changes.
Right.
Like, don't have an ego about it. Have an ego about winning the award or getting into the organization or getting into the class. Take the feedback.
Right. And
solicit the feedback and use the
feedback. Yeah, I rarely have applied for something and didn't have at least two other people read it, just to, like you said, just to get some feedback. So that's a great point. My next point, which should be obvious, is understand that they're going to say something positive.
Would somebody really write a negative letter?
I don't think people would write a negative letter, but I don't think people would write a positive letter. And sometimes people would write a letter that's so neutral,
vague,
right, and so flat, vague, that it's actually not helpful to you.
I can see that.
And so like when you get
that.
You should get your letter and you should think to yourself, boy, you sure sound amazing. And if you get it and you don't sound amazing, it's probably not the right person to have written a letter for you. And let me also say this, there's nothing wrong with when you realize that, to maybe not use that letter and to go.
I said I wouldn't
and
use
just
that
go
letter.
ask someone else who you think is going to write a letter. And that goes back to what you're saying, where if you're not doing it at the last minute, you have time to pivot and adjust and make a change.
Yeah, I definitely think the deal about making sure that the letter is positive. I've never personally run into that where I've asked somebody to write a letter and I didn't think that they were going to write something positive. I have run into it with someone who's asked me to write a letter and I think to myself, you don't want me to write that letter. And I've had to have a conversation.
And we have an episode coming up about that.
and we're going to do an episode about that. But yeah, I think a reference should be kind of like, to me, a marriage proposal. You know that the person thinks highly of you and is a fan of yours and is going to say good and positive things.
And yeah, that might be a time, I just thought about this, that if you get a letter back like that and it's not glowing, that maybe you take stock and that you don't always know how to evaluate relationships.
Oh, that's a whole different corporate homie episode. I think that is going to go nicely with my final point, which is whatever the deadline, try to get it in at least 2 days early. Because if you're working off a 2 day earlier deadline and you have a snafu like that, at least you have the ability to pivot potentially, right? Where you could say, girl, I asked such and such to write this letter, and then the letter they gave me was so vague and unhelpful, and I'm sorry to ask you at the last minute, but can you help me? Or go back to that person and say, hey, could you be a little bit more specific? You know, I gave you this package with the criteria. I need the letter to say these things. Is that something that you'll be able to do? My point is that you have time to do that, because you're not asking for the letter back at 8 a.m. on the day that it's due.
Oh, right. So you're saying that even maybe you and the person serving as the reference might even have time to edit the letter, get it finalized, and get it out the door. That's a really good point. And so my last point, of course, I feel like I say this in every episode, is after the person has written you the letter and they've done all of that, thank them.
Say thank them.
And what I don't just mean, girl, thank you, or man, thank you. I mean, actually write them a handwritten note or pick up a Starbucks gift card, something that actually says, I understand that you took time away from your job, away from your family, away from your hobbies, and did me a favor.
To the extent that you are doubting that it matters, it does. I actually just got a handwritten note from somebody for I had helped write a letter. They haven't even found out if they've gotten into the organization, but it was the nicest letter that said, hey, I know that you're busy. Thank you for taking the time to invest in me and to recommend me for this. And it went a long way for me. And I thought, and I was even more impressed that they did it before they found out one way or the other, because to your point, I did write the letter anyway, right?
So it doesn't matter to a certain extent.
It does not matter. It doesn't matter. But we just cannot. I know we probably say this every fifth episode, but a proper thank you does go a long way, and it is
right.
Memorable.
It's a favor, so act like it.
And I will say, I feel like some people have taken that into canned thank yous.
Yeah.
You know, where they have. I feel like they're like the guy that has, you know, 20 plastic roses, and then he just keeps giving them out. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a personal thank you. You know, not you going into your thank you war chest and sending everybody the same thing, you know, throughout the year. That's not what we're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly. Right. Okay, so as always, we appreciate you listening to the episode. We appreciate, you know, you reaching out. If you have a topic that you would like covered, please feel free to shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com, and we'll be happy to cover your episode topic.
Absolutely. And we've mentioned this on the previous couple of episodes, but we're on the Max's List of Career podcasts, and we're going to be giving out free copies of his entire guide of career podcasts, other podcasts that give out good career tips. So if you have not signed up for the Corporate Homie mailing list, please go to the website corporatehomie.com and sign up for the mailing list, because we're going to be distributing that list on April 1st.
Until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.